Today is October 25th, and you're listening to the Shell and Tell podcast with Ryan and Fred. We have flown out to Minnesota to see our Terps take on the Golden Gophers. This show will be a little bit different, give you a little insight to our trip. I'll give you some updates throughout the day as it goes on, and at the end of the show, give you our game predictions. Talk a little bit of Indiana football last week, and our predictions for score and what we see happening this week. We also plan on having another episode by the end of the weekend to wrap up what we've done here and review what's happened with the Golden Gophers for tomorrow's 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 local time for us kickoff. I hope you guys really enjoy. This has been an amazing experience, and I think you will appreciate everything we have to say here. Thanks for joining us again.
All right, Ryan, let's talk a little bit about our day, man. It's been a long day for me. Started at 4 a.m. this morning.
Dedicated Terrapin fan. I like it.
When the alarm clock went off, I was cussing up a storm. But then I realized what it was for, and I got excited. And, yeah, we had an early flight as we left Baltimore from BWI at, what, 8:30 this morning about?
Yep. We have started the Big Ten tour that I've been looking forward to for 3 to 4 years now.
Yeah. But kind of started interesting. We ended up going through the BWI concourse, Concourse B, and we go to our seats, and we're sitting there about a half hour before the flight's getting ready to take off, and saw a few spatterings of some Maryland fans, some Maryland gear kind of around, and thought, oh, this is cool. A couple of Maryland fans, you know, this will be kind of a fun flight.
And I said, Fred, I don't think those are fans. That's team-issued shoes and a team-issued jacket.
Yeah, but see, I think you were going more so like, ooh, we might actually see the team board this plane.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we're getting there. That was like, oh, God, I went from a 0% chance to see the team today because they're probably flying out of Reagan to like a 1% chance. And then about four or five more showed up with Maryland sports medicine shirts, Maryland this, Maryland that, all team-issued stuff. And I'm like, oh, I'm up to like 50, 60% chance the team's riding the plane with us. This is going to be awesome.
And there's some guy passed out on the floor petting a cat in a bag.
We don't have to talk about the strange things we saw in Baltimore. It's Baltimore. Strange things happen.
It was really bizarre.
So we did meet a lot of cool people. Ended up, the team did not fly with us. A lot of the support staff did. It was their athletic trainers, sports medicine. We had some, you know, of course, some donors and supporters and fans on there.
Yeah, actually got to meet one of the board of directors.
For the Terrapin Club,
The Terrapin Club, yeah.
You know, definitely got her card and keep that handy and in mind and talked with her when convenient.
In case we decide to throw any money at the program. Yeah.
In case I just, like, fall into 500 grand that I don't need.
I hope that happens on this trip.
Yeah. No, obviously, I support the Terrapin Club and do what I can for that. My biggest donation to the university would be my 12 season tickets, 2 parking passes, and 8 seat backs, as far as I'm concerned. But every once in a while, we do donate some, and I do understand that just giving money is the heart of college sports.
Right. So we flew in and came into hovering over Minnesota at about, I guess, 9:30 this morning. And what is it? The land of 1,000 lakes or 10,000 lakes.
Lakes.
I'm pretty sure we saw like 9,954 of those 10,000.
We were in a nice long holding pattern, nice and low. So I thought we should tip the pilot for like a sightseeing mission.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we circled the city at least 6 or 7 times before we landed. At least it felt that way.
So that was interesting. We confirmed there is nothing to do here except for look at parks and lakes and waterfalls.
It's a beautiful city,
It's
though.
A gorgeous city.
It is. It's
unfortunately, we're here in the almost winter.
Yeah.
So, but it's still very nice. It's very clean. We've been all over campus now.
Within a 3-block radius, we've just walked those 3 blocks.
Yeah, well, we've been all around main campus. We've been by all their athletic facilities.
Yeah, they have about 10 different arenas here.
There's an arena for everything. I will definitely say everyone complaining about the University of Maryland arms race and arenas, we are way behind Minnesota, and I would not have thought that before I got here.
Right.
So we can stop complaining about the arms race of the thing that donors are paying for, the school has nothing to do with. So please accept that when someone is given money to build a fancy building, you have to build that building and not fix the air conditioner or whatever other garbage they're complaining about online.
Well, we got a chance to walk down to the football stadium, which is really nice. It's got a nice open end to the stadium, so even with it being locked up, we got a good chance to look at the scope of things. And
already got the Maryland emblem on the scoreboard. That was cool.
They do.
They're pre-gaming.
Yeah, it's kind of a smaller stadium, about 40 to 50,000 people capacity, I would say, somewhere in that neighborhood. But a really nice setup. Again, around a lot, like all their sports complexes are all laid out very close together. So getting around from one to the other is pretty easy on campus.
And Fraternity Row's right next door.
Yeah, which Ryan wanted to avoid, and I wanted to take right down the belly of the beast. So we decided to walk right by. A bunch of partying kids.
Fully decked out Maryland gear, head to toe.
Yeah, at 10 a.m., mind you, these kids are out there, full blast music, drinking already.
Friday, not Saturday, Friday.
Friday morning, 10 a.m., having a hell of a time. So we walk by, and of course, they don't say anything when they first see us and when we're in eyesight. But the minute we get behind some hedges and they can't see us anymore,
start lobbing
they
insults.
Start, oh, the you know, Terps suck, blah, blah, blah.
Go home.
Yeah. So I let him have it a little bit.
For the audio listeners, we're both very large individuals. They did have a lot more of us, so I wasn't really interested in anything. But I try to not pick on children. But we are both very large individuals, so usually it's not to our face.
It was fun to walk by them, though, either way. Again, beautiful city. We're staying at the what is this called?
The Graduate Minneapolis, yeah.
So it's a very old kind of fashion-y hotel. Some strange things in the room in here. We've got a random coat jacket framed and on the wall in here. A wannabe Marilyn Monroe poster on the wall. And some creepy. Yeah,
it's an old, eclectic, generational decor,
to say the least.
It is, but it's done well. There's cool stuff in the lobby. They got some cool fire pit, and air hockey tables, shuffleboard. So, if we have our downtime, which I'm expecting a little bit of, we'll have something to do.
Yeah, we got a chance to get out for lunch today, and decided instead of eating a big lunch at one place, we decided to eat a couple of things at a couple different places because really, apparently, the only thing when you Google search stuff to do in Minnesota, it's either eat.
Drink beer.
Go to a park.
Look at a waterfall.
Go to a waterfall. That's about it. And I'm sure there's murals of Prince everywhere around here.
Thursday Night Football showed us a lot of those. We haven't got to see them in person yet.
Right. So we ended up checking out Blaze Pizza, which is the pizza joint backed by LeBron James. Pretty good.
Fastest growing pizza chain in America. Usually I have a strict no chain policy on vacation, which I'd already told Fred about beforehand. But I broke my own rule because I've been interested in the news about this chain a while. So we just split one little pizza that we could still eat somewhere unchained later.
Right. Yeah. So then we decided to walk down the street, and one of the other places that Ryan had Google searched and found was a good spot to go was from the Campus Eats website, and it was a
Burgerato.
Burgerato. Basically, it was Chinese food on a burrito in a lot of ways, and it was delicious. It was very good, and ended up running into a fan of the show. Somebody connected to the program. His name will not be mentioned, but nevertheless, fun to see some of the fans, and sat down and got to talk to him for a good hour and a half, 2 hours, about the Terps and about the program and the direction of the football team and everything. So it was a good conversation, good insight.
Yeah, got a good like hour and a half of inside intel in the last couple of years of the program, and just talked, off record stuff. I've been going to Maryland games, as you guys know, for 19 years, every home game.
Yeah.
And I've been here for 6 hours. And like we said, we've met the board of directors members and someone closely tied to the program that was willing to sit down and talk with us for a while and have some fun. And I'm almost considering just canceling my season tickets and going to a bunch of away games because I've gotten much more out of it. Obviously I'm not going to do that, but it's been a lot of fun. I'm really glad we started this tour, and I can't wait till next year.
What are the odds? We're such a small town podcast. We've been doing this now for maybe, 3 months?
Yeah.
And, we have a couple hundred followers. We get a couple hundred hours of views on our podcast a month so far. So, it's definitely growing. It's definitely taking off. But we go walk in this burrito place, and of all places, there's a guy closely tied to the program that knows of us.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't recognize us by person, but he, you know, we had, again, all decked out in Maryland gear. He said hi. I told him, yeah, we're, you know, from Shell and Tell podcast. We got it written on our back. So I gave him a look. He's like, oh, yeah, you were the guys that are going to do one away game a year. And I'm like, what?
How do you know this? You should do mine.
It's like, you know, sometimes we think we're just talking to ourselves over here. So it just blew my mind that somebody had actually heard the podcast.
All right. So we just wanted to check in. We're going to do this a couple of times throughout our trip. It is still Friday. It's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So we're just getting started on this trip. We're going to plan to go out here in a couple minutes, take another walk around the city, potentially go down to Topgolf because I know that's something I've always wanted to do. I know you've wanted to do it. And we'll kind of keep you in the loop with our adventures on this trip. A little different version of the podcast, but stay tuned for the next segment. All right, Ryan, it's 10:40 at night. We've been out on the town in Minnesota. We've had a good time.
Yeah, we've had a great time.
An amazing time.
I could not believe this. I've been a lot of places. I've been to Vegas, Orlando, Dominican Republic, Aruba. I've liked a lot of them. I'm not going to lie to you. This last fucking 12 hours, well, that's the first time I've cursed on this podcast. I'm going to let it go.
That's all right.
Best time ever.
Yeah.
I cannot express this enough. If you have the financial ability to go to an away game and you care about the Terps, do it. Because everyone else that's here loves the Terps like you do.
Right. That's kind of what we learned. So, all right. So, the first place we left, the last time we talked to you guys, we told you we were going back out of the town. And we decided to walk out of the hotel and try to find a bar just to pick up a beer or two. So we legitimately walked across the street, found Sally's
Saloon.
It looks like one of the most popular bars in the area. Had a hard time finding out how to get in this place. Couldn't find the front door.
Totally sober. Never had a beer. Couldn't find the front door.
Not a drop of alcohol at this point.
But we found it.
But we found the front door. And we walk in, and the bar is packed to the point where, like, there's nowhere to sit. So we're like, you know what? Let's just keep walking, see what we can find, and you know.
Maybe we'll wander out. We're just going to leave.
Right. So as we turn around and we're getting ready to walk out, we hear, go Terps! We turn around, and there's this table of guys, probably about the same age as us, maybe like late 20s to early 30s kind of mix of a table of people, a table of guys. And we walk up to them to say what's up, and they couldn't have been nicer. They were from the D.C. area, you know, guys that had been – they came in town to watch the Redskins and Vikings.
Yeah, but, of course, support the Terps just because that's where they live.
Exactly. Now, and actually, they're getting ready to head back for game four of the World Series. Again, just talked to them for a couple of minutes. Couldn't have been a nicer group of guys. So we're feeling good about ourselves, and we walk out of there, and we're like, you know what? Let's go into Minneapolis because we're in the West Bank. Okay. So we decided to go into Minneapolis. We decided to take the light rail into town. We hit up a local bar when we get in there. Was it Top Cat or something?
Top Cat.
And nice little place. They had some good beer there. Micro brews, that
nice
kind of thing.
Nice long list of beers. Had a cool German server that made it very authentic beer. Help.
Right. So we stay there for a little while. You know what? We decided to get back on the light rail and head a little bit further into town, more towards like the stadium areas. And as we got closer to the Twins Park, which is Target Field, we decided to get off there. And Ryan knew, based on some inside information, that the players could potentially be staying at a certain hotel.
Yeah, so they were there. According to the Terrapin Club members we talked to, they and the team will be at Terrapin or at Radisson Blue. There happen to be two Radisson Blues right in Minnesota, so, you know, 50-50 shot, pick one. It was right down the street, so we went walking by.
So we get off this light rail, and we start walking to the Radisson, which wasn't very far from where we were. And as we're walking up, Ryan's a little in front of me, and we're walking across the street going to the hotel, and not a whole lot of people outside, but there's one lady standing outside, and she's in a red sweater, and I kind of thought to myself, I wonder if she's with the Terps or here to support
the Terps. Yeah, it was just a red sweater,
just because
no
she
marks.
Was wearing red. There was nothing about her that said Terps or anything, But, you know, I didn't want to, like, call her out or say anything. And she, as we're walking by her, she says, "You guys here for the game?" And, you know, I kind of played it low key for a second. I said, "Yeah, we're here for the game." She's like, "Well, did you know the players are staying here?" And I kind of try to play it off a little bit. I said, nah, I had no idea the players are staying here. And she's like, "Yeah, they'll be here in about 20, 25 minutes. She's like, "I'm actually part of the charter service. I do is I like arrange the flights and the bus rides and all that stuff." And she couldn't have been sweeter.
Yep, had a great time talking to her for a while.
Yeah, she ends up because we were like, you know what, we'll go into the hotel. Because, you know, there's a hotel bar in there, which looked really nice. We were like, "Well, we'll have a drink." She's like, "Well, I'm getting ready to go in there and have a drink. I'll sit down with you guys." So we go in, and as we're walking in the front door, there's a big
giant Maryland
emblem on this, like, it's like this multiple screen setup where it's like 15 TVs combined into one TV, and it's got the Maryland emblem on it, and there's a bunch of chairs sitting around it, and there's a couple guys sitting around, one of which was a familiar face to us via Twitter.
Yeah, the PR representative for the Terps, Mr. Dustin, that we've had some email engagements with.
Right.
So we got to know him personally. I shook his hand, said hi. Hopefully, you know, meeting him in person might lead to some more future benefits for both us and the listeners,
right?
Get a few more players online, things like that, because we've had a few email correspondence back and forth, but obviously meeting in person for the first time was a great development.
Absolutely. I mean, it couldn't be any more than what we could have hoped for, which is just basically a foot in the door, you know, a face to the names,
yeah,
you know, a face to, you know, the voices, that kind of thing. So we sit at the bar, we sit down with this lady who had nothing but like amazing stories to tell. Some of stories that involve Syracuse
head coaches for basketball, Duke head coaches for basketball, current Loxley stories, all fun. It was amazing. It was great.
It's one of those experiences that, like, there's no way you could have planned.
No,
this kind of experience, there's no way you could have expected this type of thing to happen. Literally, from the time we've been here, now granted, it's 10:50 at night now. We arrived here at probably
10:15.
Okay, 10:15 this morning.
We landed this morning.
So we've been here a total of 12 hours. And it has been the most action-packed, like, fun-filled 12 hours you could have ever imagined. We're coming into this as our first away game in the Big Ten.
And expecting nothing.
Right.
It's Minnesota.
We legitimately planned this trip back in, like, June.
Yeah.
I mean, a long time ago, we booked the flights and everything. And we have been doing some Google searching here and there, trying to figure out, what are we going to do in Minnesota? Like, what is there to do? And literally, like we said earlier, there's really nothing to do here. It couldn't be more than, like, the opposite of what our
people
experience.
Have made this experience. That's what this business is in the people.
Right.
I mean, we have met people that it's just because of where we are. And that's what I can't explain to you. If you have the ability, you need to go to an away game. This has literally changed my experience as a Maryland fan. I've been there 19 years, every home game. I have never gotten the satisfaction or feedback from any tailgate, from any game, from anything, as being here with people that care as much as you do. They are traveling with the team because they care as much as you do. If you're listening to this program, you care more than the average fan that shows up on a Saturday in college.
100% agreed.
So you owe it to yourself to experience this, because I did not expect this. I literally thought, you know, I got to get this started. We might as well start with something. I don't want to start with a Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan. I don't want to start with a crown jewel of the Big Ten. I just want to go do a Big Ten program and move on to the next one. This has been amazing. Like,
it has.
So much that I want to do two a year, not one a year. Like, I want to get this done. I want to see this. This has been so much fun.
So we're sitting at the bar, shooting the shit with this girl, and up pull the team buses. Team gets out, files out one by one. Everybody's dressed to the nines in suits and ties and everything. It's just fun. It's just cool to see. Again, it's one of those things that, you know, as an average fan, you don't get to see. So it was really cool to see. And then, you know, a couple players came into the lounge area where we were sitting, I guess 21 or older or had family in town. to have a couple of drinks or sit down with their families and have some dinner. So we got to see some players.
Yeah, I think most of the people that were in there having drinks were support staff, not necessarily the players. I didn't see any
players.
Well,
no, there were a couple players that were sitting behind us. They had their numbers on their arms.
Okay, I did meet somebody in the restaurant with us that's in charge of, like, videography for the Terps. Talked to them for a while. It was very cool.
We also ran back into the same guy we talked about earlier and his son. Again, not to be named or anything, but, you know, cool to see him and get our, you know, our hands and our faces in front of his son.
And just thank them for the, you know, I've been, again, watching games since I was 11 years old and just explain to them, you know, what it means to people. You know, I'm a grown man, but this college team, because of my history, it means more to me than any Ravens game, any Orioles game, any Caps game. Like, the Terps is what my history of sports is, like, for the most part. And it was very receptive. He was very genuine and, you know, appreciated the fanhood. So it was really cool talking.
Yeah, it's one of those moments that I said this earlier. It kind of – it humbles us in a sense that, you know, we do this because we love doing it, right? Because we're passionate about the sport and because we're passionate about our Terps. But – you know, to see people recognize the work that we're putting in and appreciating the work that we're putting in, that just, for me at least, it gives me a little bit of sense of value, I guess, in a way. Like, that people value what we're doing. And, you know, it just makes me want to do it even more. Makes me want to put out better products. Maybe makes me want to put more effort into it. You know, just because it's something we do because we love doing it, not because we're paid to do it, not because, you know, anybody asks us to do it. We do this thing for all the right reasons.
Yeah, that's what the father was pointing out. Like, you know, putting our own money out, like the grassroots effort that this is. You know, hopefully something we can roll this into actually, you know, assisting the Terps get to their goals someday. If we grow big enough, what, you know, our reach can help spin a recruit here or there just by realizing that we do have fans that care, because there are people like us that are out here that exist that really do, you know, bleed the red and black.
Right. Well, before we get into the game itself, because obviously we've got a big game tomorrow to kind of talk about and break down. We capped the night off before we came back with a night out at Topgolf.
Yeah.
Anyone
from the Baltimore area, we've been promised Topgolf for about 2.5 years. They've been in a legal battle with BG&E, for anyone that didn't know why it hasn't been built. So they bought the land, they announced it was coming, and BG&E and them have had an issue with where the edge of their land is and how it infringes on some air rights for some, you know, utility property. Let me tell you, Topgolf is everything that I thought it would
be. It's everything it's advertised to be. It's basically, think of cosmic bowling on steroids, in the sense that
it makes bowling better. It makes golf better.
Yeah, right. It's everything you would expect it to be. It doesn't matter your skill set with golf. You can be the best golfer.
Yeah, we're both
you
bad at golf.
A complete amateur at golf. But I'll be honest with you, we might be bad at golf, but we were the best ones there.
Yeah, I mean, so Topgolf, like I expected. So weekdays, it's the real avid golfer going there.
Right.
And Friday and Saturday night,
it's your cosmic bowlers.
It's the ones that are out there to party and have a good time. To do something fun while eating and drinking. And that's what we went and did. And it was an amazing time. And I can't wait until they end this and they build the Baltimore one. And I'll be there once a month. I'm telling you, fix this. Get it built. It's awesome. It's been a great day, man. I can't believe how good a day we've had.
Yeah, it's, again, completely unexpected. Everybody here has been great. You know, outside of the couple of campus kids that gave us a little bit of crap by walking by the fraternity, which is, you
that's,
know, completely
I completely,
completely to be
that.
Expected. Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, if I was in a fraternity of some school and the opposing team walk by in
exactly.
the colors, I would talk trash too. So I completely respect them for that.
Outside of that, it has been above and beyond expectations. So as to Ryan's point earlier, if you are thinking about potentially just going out on your own and visiting this team on the road and watching a road game, Do it for yourself. Do it for the experience. But I couldn't expect anything more than what we've got. Like, legitimately, in the years to come, when we go to Michigan and we go to Ohio State, they better put on a damn good show, because Minnesota's done it right.
Yeah, I mean, I expect we will probably be disappointed in the future, because this has been above and beyond expectations. I hope we're not setting you up guys up for failure. If you are going to an away game, let us know. Maybe we'll join you.
For sure.
This has been so much fun. You owe it to yourself to try it. I can't believe how well it's gone.
All right, Ryan, well, we got to talk about what everybody wants to hear us talk about, and that's the game itself. As the Terps come in to Minnesota, not riding real high right now, and coming in against a very tough opponent, you know, looking at the schedule maybe going into this year, I didn't think that this game would be that big of a challenge, especially after the way we manhandled them last year. But look, Minnesota is 7-0 in the year, 4-0 in the Big Ten so far. It's real easy to point the finger at the schedule and say, oh, well, who have they played and what's their schedule? Look, at the end of the day, they've beaten every opponent that's been on their schedule. This is not going to be an easy game for the Terps.
Yeah, we'd be really excited at 7-0 no matter what our schedule said.
Right.
I mean, I think this is a pretty good team. I don't think that any other team at 7-0 would be this lackluster in me thinking that we had any chance whatsoever. Their schedule has been lacking the normal powerhouse. It's been a very Big Ten West, not Big Ten East type caliber schedule. Not that we're anybody to brag, because we've just been the whipping boys of the Big Ten East recently.
Right.
But at least we do have to play them every year. They have some great players. I mean, Winfield Jr., one of their DBs, ball hawking cornerback. Really got to keep the ball away from him. They have a great wide receiver in Ty Johnson, not Ty Johnson.
Tyler.
Our Terps and the Detroit Lions, but Tyler Johnson of the Minnesota Golden Gophers, who's been hauling in 26 touchdowns. That's a lot of work for our inexperienced DBs.
And that's where I was going to come in, is I think that's going to be our biggest challenge, is because not only do they have a couple of good wide receivers, but, man, do they got a good quarterback throwing them the ball. Tanner Morgan, 6'2", 215-pound. I think he's a junior coming in this year. He's been about as efficient can be. 67% completion percentage, a little under 1,700 yards through the air, 16 touchdowns to 3 interceptions this year. You know, when we look at quarterback play, that's obviously going to be a topic of discussion with us, because, you know, when Josh Jackson went down with an injury, Piggy's come in for these last couple of weeks. Has he been great? No. Has he looked good in certain situations? Yes. So they haven't announced as of yet who's going to be the starter this week with Josh Jackson coming back from injury. So I think that's a big question mark as to how this team's going to do tomorrow.
Yeah, obviously we're here to watch a Maryland win. That's what I want most. I hope that happens. I think there's a possibility of that happening. I don't think, we discussed this before the Penn State game, and I was wrong. That someone, if you told me the definitive number 13 in the country, wherever they were at the time, we'd lose. If you told me a definitive 7-0 team in the country, we're going to lose. I could be wrong again, but I don't think this is that team. I think that if they played our schedule, they'd have 2 or 3 losses. I don't think that they're 7-0. So I think that we have a shot tomorrow. I think things have to go right for us. The people we've talked to, the parents of team and the people that are working with the team also aren't, hanging their heads, and they think the locker room is still together and believes in themselves. So I'm still thinking we got a shot.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't, like you said earlier, you can't kind of overlook this team. They're an explosive offensive team. You already mentioned Tyler Johnson. Another wide receiver that they have, Rashad Bateman, sophomore wide receiver. Both of these guys, Tyler and Rashad, both 6'2", a little over 200 pounds. Bateman, one of the best freshman seasons in program history last year, had 51 catches for 704 yards. Both were school records. This year as a sophomore, he's on pace to shatter what he did last year. He's already got 28 catches for 605 yards and 5 touchdowns through 7 games. So, again, a secondary of ours that's already kind of depleted with a few injuries. Obviously, the big injury being to Tino Ellis a couple of weeks ago. That was a big blow. And then the question marks around what's going on with Nick Cross. You know, we saw him start his first college game last week. And, you know, okay, maybe it didn't start off on the greatest foot because there were a couple of pass plays his way that ended up being complete. But I don't know if that was straight punishment for those catches because you didn't see him after that. Or was it more an injury situation and that's even more troublesome?
Yeah, we discussed this. During the game, Nick Cross, you know, obviously began the game starting at safety. Didn't see him on at safety. Didn't see him at kick return where he had been playing. Didn't see him at all for most of the game. And, you know, we're live. We're in the stands. We're not, you know, factoring everything. So maybe he has snuck in there a few plays. But I didn't see him at all. And so we expected to hear in the post-game press conference or sometime later in the week that something physically happened across. We've heard nothing.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, everything I've seen on Nick Cross athletically has been very impressive. He has been everything he was sold to be. I think he's one of the better talent-wise players on the team. Obviously, he's young. Obviously, he's going to get better. But I saw no reason that he needed to be put on the bench if that's what it is. I really hope he can play. I really hope he can outperform. I really hope that, you know, Rashad Lewis can get out there and get some play done. Antoine Brooks, he's been great when he can play safety. When he has to play coverage, has not been quite as good as we expected. So we really need to see some people play over their head to get this done with these two wideouts.
Yeah, you know, and to your point, I feel like whether it's exhaustion, whether it's learning the system or whatnot, I feel like some of the guys, we've seen a little bit of regression over the last couple of weeks, especially on the transfer side with Keandre Jones and Shaq Smith. Neither one of these guys have I seen on the stat sheet or just the eyeball test. I haven't seen them on the field making plays like they were earlier on the year. So I'm hoping that these guys can get on the right track because we're going to need that. You know, to make up for what the secondary's not been able to do lately.
Yeah, I mean, Shaq Smith, when he first started playing this year, we thought he was, you know, going to be here 1 year and leave, even though he has 2 years of eligibility. But, you know, both me and Fred agree, and one the Maryland insider we spoke to today agree that there's a good chance that if this continues at this rate, that Shaq will be there next year, which, you know, isn't really a negative thing for Maryland. He's definitely got some talent. I'd like to see him here a little longer, but this might be a negative thing for Shaq, depending on how he looks at it.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the offensive side. We've already kind of talked about the quarterback position and who's going to be out there, and you know, we've stated on previous episodes kind of our feelings on Josh Jackson versus Terrell Pigram. Let's talk a little bit about the running back position. Both you and I have been big fans of Javon Leak, and rightfully so. I mean, this kid, he's on another level.
I hope we get one more year with him, but if we don't get it, I understand. But I, Javon Leak, I'm just going to go ahead and beg me right now. Come back and give us a 10-win season next year.
Well, going into this year, obviously, I think all the national pundits, including myself and you to a degree, had high expectations for Anthony McFarland. He has obviously not lived up to those expectations so far this year, but I think a lot of that has to do with an ankle injury that he's been dealing with for the last couple of weeks. So they say he's close to about as 100% as he's been all year this year. Do you think we see Ant McFarland break out of his shell in this game?
I sure hope so. I hope he proves me wrong. I mean, I told you, I think it was game one, which you can think that, you know, Ant McFarland's going to be as 100% he can game one, that I wasn't sure Ant McFarland was even the number two back on this team. I love Javon Leak. I think Fleet Davis is very talented and very strong runner. Ant McFarland is absolutely one of the most talented people on the team. I don't know if he fits the offensive scheme best. I think that in Matt Canada's offense last year, getting him out in space, you know, short passes, things like that, he looked amazing. But that the other two running backs have fit it better. I hope that all of that was injury. I hope he shows up tomorrow. I hope he runs for 250 yards and gets his job done. But which he's, you know, he showed capability of last year. You know, but he's a very good running back, and if he does great, he's gonna, you know, walk into the NFL league, and if he does okay, we get another year with him, and either way, he's a very talented player. I'm happy for him either way.
All right, and then I think another aspect of the game that most people don't talk about but kind of goes unmentioned would be special teams. We talked about it earlier on in the year. You know, we played against some teams that had some rough special teams, and I think we're going to see a little bit more of the same in this game. Minnesota does not have a very good special teams unit. They're actually ranked as one of the worst in the Big Ten. You know, Terps come in with a solid special teams unit. We haven't seen a whole lot through the kicking game as far as field goals go yet. Obviously, that's been a problem. I don't think we've made one field goal yet this year. You know, but as far as our long snapper, as far as our punting crew, like, we're built to be a good special teams unit. Do you think that that could be a factor in this game?
Well, I mean, that's going to be a factor in any close game, and I expect that we will not blow this 7-0 team out. So if we're going to be into it, the special teams obviously has to perform, as well as the offense and defense. But in a close game, that is always going to be a deciding factor. So they have to if we're going to win this game.
All right. Well, with DJ Turner in the return game being out for the remainder portion of the year, he's going to redshirt into next year, obviously, with the issues that he's had. Do you see the return game, maybe Javon Leak affecting the return game, or anybody out there that that could be a factor in this game?
So this was something that shocked me last game. So we were down by one score against Indiana at home late in the fourth quarter, and we have a punt return come out. Coach Locks had already talked that you may see Javon Leak in the return game. We're Ravens fans. That's our pro team.
Right.
If the game's on the line and there was 30 seconds left, say 5 or 6 years ago, our returner was who? Ed Reed.
Right.
He's not our normal returner. He's our we-have-to-score-now returner.
We need a playmaker back there.
We need the guy that's going to do it.
Right.
So I was a little mind-blown that Rashad Lewis went back to return that kick after he had said that. I really expected, like, literally, like, it's fourth down. Javon Leak's going to be put back there. That was my very first thought. Rashad Lewis is back there. You know, he didn't, you know, obviously he made it, you know, I think it was a fair catch, actually. Didn't make any big problems. Rashad Lewis is a good player for us. He's a good contributor, but I don't think he's going to be a game breaker. And I was kind of shocked at that. I wonder when that's going to happen. Like, if you're going to tease that, if you're going to talk about that in the coach meetings, if you're not going to have him do it in that situation, maybe Javon Leak's never going to return a punt.
Yeah, I mean, look, you got to replace the production that DJ Turner left the void, because earlier on the year, I think both you and I were pretty impressed with what DJ Turner was able to do in the return game. I mean, obviously,
yeah,
he had the one punt return for a touchdown, had a few other big returns to put the team in good field position. That's something that we haven't had since he's left the field. Legitimately, it's been a bunch of fair catches, essentially, is what it's been when
mostly
we return. So that's a side of the game that I think a lot of people don't really talk about, you know, especially when this offense struggles to move the ball in that traditional ground and pound, you know, 4 or 5 yards at a time clip. This offense is predicated around the big play. We talked about this earlier today. It seems more so that if they don't hit the big play, the 30-yard, the 40-yard, the 50-yard gain type play, chances are this team's not going to score. So when it comes down to field position, special teams can play a big part in that.
Yeah, they've definitely been the big play team. That's without a doubt. I think that we will eventually see Leak back there. I don't know why, you know, you would coach speak Leak into existence if it wasn't part of the plan. because no one was asking for it. No one was demanding Leak be back there. It was just that he has scored on the running play. He scored in the kick return, and Loxley happened to mention it. So you'd have to think it was in the works. I was just shocked that it didn't happen then.
All right, so let's throw some predictions out there, right? So we're going to go into this game. With us here, it starts at 2:30, 3:30 local time, Eastern Standard Time for you
this
folks
is,
back on
that's
the East
another
Coast.
Cool thing. Like, this is a 2:30 p.m. football game. I've never experienced that. Never seen it on TV.
It's
never seen
different.
It in person. It's real weird. I hope we remember this tomorrow and that we get to the game on time, because I don't 2:30 kickoff just seems weird.
We'll make sure we set an alarm and make sure we're there. But all right, so the national pundits have this game out there as like a 15.5 point spread right now.
That's the only
in favor of Minnesota.
Yes, that's the only thing I can. You know, I want to say I feel completely confident that we cover that spread, because they're not 15.5 points better than us. But Penn State wasn't 50 points better than us either. We just buried our head once they got into a lead.
Right.
So I don't – like, if we score before that second interception at Penn State, we maybe lose by 14-21. We'd lose. I'm not gonna be that guy. But we don't get just destroyed.
Wow.
And everyone stops playing except for Antoine Brooks and Nick Cross.
Penn State came down to about 4 or 5 plays in that game. Early on in that game, if we stop – about 4 or 5 plays early on in that game, it's a totally different game.
Totally
you could say that about most games, but at the end of the day, that's what it came down to. So, all right, in this game, for me, the biggest challenge, like I said earlier, I think is going to be the secondary. This is going to be a test for them. They've got two big body receivers that they got to cover, a quarterback who's been very efficient. You know, they're not going to put up 400 yards through the air against this. But they will put up over 300 yards, and it will be at a high completion percentage. There will be few turnovers in this game. So the Terps have to be efficient on their end. They got to control the clock, limit the amount of possessions that Minnesota gets in this game, and really make sure that they're turning these drives into scoring drives. You can't have a bunch of dead-end drives that don't turn into much, because if you do, you will lose this game. You will absolutely lose the game. I think the Terps – the biggest question still for me is who starts at quarterback, because I have personal feelings on which way this game goes based on who that quarterback is. I do think that Piggy ends up starting this game, and I do think the Terps keep this close. But I think Minnesota ends up winning this game. I hate saying that. I think
this vacation's been so good, Fred. How do we end this with a loss?
It pains me. I want to be proven wrong so badly, but I've got Minnesota winning this 31-27.
31-27. Okay.
I do see us covering the spread, so we're good there. But I don't know. I'm struggling to see the Terps win this game.
I think, you know, this is totally personal bias. I am being less than objective than any other week of the year. But this vacation is going so well. It's just, it's been amazing.
Yeah.
The Terps win this game.
I like it.
The Terps win this game on the back of Anthony McFarland proving me wrong and proving me he's a stud.
I like it.
They win this game because Javon Leak continues being the stud that he's been all year, and Dante Demas continues to prove he's a true number one receiver in the Big Ten. We get this all going. Our defense still sucks. It's going to continue to suck. Hopefully Nick Cross and Chance Campbell, which we have not talked about.
Oh, man.
How can we not talk about Chance Campbell, you, sir, I hope you hear this. I hope one of your friends sent this to you. You are the future of the Maryland Terrapins. Nick Cross, you are amazing talent. I'm glad you're here. Thank you for coming. But Chance Campbell, an underrated recruit from the Maryland area,
yeah,
showing out and showing who you can be and making big plays at big time moments.
Calvert Hall's finest.
This is the guy that you build your program around. These are the people you need to grab if you're going to get there. You're Maryland. You're not getting five stars across the board. You need to make the other guys work.
Typically, and I mean, you know, obviously us being Baltimore guys, being Raven fans, you know, we're used to a middle linebacker, one of Ray Lewis, being kind of the field general. And I can almost see that in Chance Campbell in the sense that he seems to have a very good head on his shoulders. He seems to be very football smart, got a high football IQ. The play that he made in that Indiana game in the end zone.
Unbelievable.
Unreal.
I am so sad that we lost that Indiana game just because it makes that one play he made in the end zone not as important as it was.
It was beautiful. It was
that's why we had a chance. We had a chance in that game because Chance Campbell played out of his mind to get back in position to get his fingers on that football and not let a wide open receiver score that touchdown in the core of the end zone.
Yeah.
Chance Campbell gave us a shot to win that game.
Yeah.
That had yes, the turnover sucked, the interception sucked. None of that would have mattered if Chance Campbell didn't make that play.
100%. I mean, it's got to be more above and beyond just Chance Campbell, but he has
played. Those are the type of players you build a program around.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. So with that said, you heard my prediction.
35-31 Terps. It's going to be a bit of a shootout. It'll be very similar to Indiana game. And I think we flipped the script.
I like it. All right. So what we're going to do here is we're going to put this podcast out as kind of a, episode A. We're going to do like an A and B session. We're going to do A prior to the game. We're going to do a B episode after the game.
You guys told us you want extra content. We're having an amazing time out here.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll have more to talk to.
I'm sure most of these people could care less about of our experiences out here in Minnesota, but for those few out there,
yeah,
that
we got
really
a few
do,
super fans that are really digging it, and we appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I hope you enjoy this as much as you do. I hope you get yourself to an away game and enjoy your fandom as much, because I'm the same as you guys. Every once in a while, I'm a little ashamed about why I care so much about the Terps. It feels a little dirty just keep caring about a team that just keeps drudging along in the middle of the pack or the bottom of the pack. But when you get around other fans that feel the same way you do, and you just feel vindicated. Just feel like there's a reason you're doing this, and you owe it to yourself to get around those people. The easiest way to do it is to go to an away game, because that's where they're all at.
Well, before we end here, I want to make sure I tell you guys, use social media. Use our Twitter page, at Shell and Tell Pod. You can tweet directly to me, at FredBLBS, or you can tweet directly to Ryan, at TerpsBSpert. Let us know what you guys think of the show. Let us know if you have any questions about the game. Anything that you want us to talk about with this upcoming episode B that we're going to put out. Any topics. We're open to you guys. Send us an email at shellandtellpod@gmail.com. Again, we wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for you. We appreciate you guys tuning in every week. We appreciate all the support that we've been getting. Can't thank you enough. And we will be back later on, probably with a post either tomorrow evening, which would be Sunday evening, or Saturday evening, or Sunday evening. We will keep you in the loop through social media.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. This has been a lot of fun. And any of your away game experiences, we'd love to hear, because, again, this is our first. Maybe we've had the best outlier ever, and you guys have been to a million away games that have all been terrible. I don't know if I'll believe you because of how great this has been, but go ahead and tell me. Maybe you've had really good away game experiences too. That'd be great to know this is going to happen again. So please let us know. Until next time, guys, here's to wishing all is well under the shell.